powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Football Fridays are brought to you by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. Speaking of Football Fridays, we're heading into Wild Card Weekend. You've got games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That Monday night NFC West matchup between the Rams and Cardinals. I forgot to tell you guys that we're doing Wild Card. Curtis and Jake's trivia contest enters the postseason. Now, Curtis took the regular season. Congratulations, Curtis. But Jake, there's always a chance. You can always take the postseason battle, and that's got to start with a win today, my friend. So that's coming up at 1:30. I have full faith in you, full faith. Now, to open the show, we talked about all of the teams that are going to be playing, not just over Wild Card Weekend, because we looked at Tennessee and Green Bay, but all the teams playing in the postseason this year, saying, hey, which of these philosophies, which of these paths, which of these roads seem like something Seattle could take to get there? There's lots of different ways to get to a Super Bowl. That's what's really cool. And there's also not only teams that always go to the playoffs can get there. Seven of this year's 12 playoff teams didn't make the postseason last year. And by the way, a lot of these teams got there in different ways. You have Cincinnati that's been at the basement of the AFC North, and they've racked up a couple high-round picks, and they have this phenomenal connection between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, that won a Rookie of the Year nominee. And then you've got Green Bay, who's been good for so long, and they're relying on this really balanced attack, and Aaron Rodgers playing his best football, looking like an MVP if Tom Brady doesn't take it. And then you've got Tampa Bay, a team that didn't make the playoffs for a long stretch, racked up these draft picks, brought in a great coaching staff, and then got Tom Brady in free agency. You know what I mean? Like, you've got all kinds of different approaches that these teams have taken. And Jake, you looked at, in particular, Tennessee and Green Bay, the two number one seeds, as being kind of two approaches Seattle could take as far as, you know, leaning into a balanced attack, finding a way to beat people no matter what. But I don't want to just look too far ahead. I want to talk about, if they're going to take that road, if they're going to take a road to get there, how do they do it in 2022? Well, I don't think Seahawks fans want to tune in here, like, in 2025 they can do this. How do they get on that road in 2022, Jake?
Well, the entire conversation comes down to talent acquisition. I mean, is the philosophy of Pete Carroll not clearly defined at this point? We know the type of team that he wants. He wants a very balanced offense that leans into the running game, that is centralized in the running game. And then you have a defense that, you know, from a principal standpoint, have its four down linemen be able to beat their five. You've got a really good pass rush, which allows you to drop seven in coverage, mix it up with some man-to-man principles, and there's your formula. There's your philosophy. And right now, the Seattle Seahawks do not have the personnel to be able to execute that philosophy at the highest level. It's as simple as that. And so if you want to become Green Bay or Dallas or Tennessee or Cincinnati, some of the teams that I've highlighted, and be very good running the football and be dynamic in the trenches, then you have to change that from a personnel standpoint. You have to go out and acquire, and it'll be the mantra for the entire offseason, but you have to be able to reestablish yourself on the trenches, on both sides of the ball. Your defensive line, your offensive line, your pass rush. And Stacy, I feel like a broken record. It feels like we've been talking about these things for years now, for multiple off seasons. But this is the area in which, if you want to be that dominant physical team that then can be very effective and efficient off of that from an offensive perspective, you've got to have an offensive line that can play any style of game and be very good at doing it. And from a defensive perspective, you've got to have dynamic pass rushers that can affect the game, that can have great impact, and can force offenses into making mistakes, creating turnovers. And that's what Dallas has been able to do. They've got such a great pass rush. They've been able to generate so many turnovers because they force quarterbacks into making those errors.
Well, and again, looking at personnel, because I agree with you. I think if both of us are looking at, like, how do they get there in 2022, it obviously starts with personnel. Like, they know who they want to be. They have a lot of the big pieces that they need, but kind of shoring up some of those. I think both of us are looking at either side of the trenches. So if I'm looking at, Jake, you just mentioned the offensive line. The offensive line rankings is from Pro Football Focus for 2021. I know a lot of this is subjective, but I think all of us can overall agree that maybe not in this particular particular order, but these are some of the best offensive lines in football this year. The top four here, top five, all playoff teams. I don't think that's a coincidence. Dallas Cowboys, number one. They won the NFC East. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number two, won the NFC South. San Francisco 49ers, they're an NFC West wild card. Philadelphia Eagles, an NFC East wild card. And then the Kansas City Chiefs at number five, AFC West winners. So, again, you've got, like, all of these teams, L.A. Rams in there at number seven. You know what I mean? You've got the New England Patriots, now a playoff team, back in the playoffs after a down year at number nine. And you just got a very clear correlation between a great offensive line, and in the case of teams like Tampa Bay, like that great defensive line too, kind of being the thing that keeps you in the postseason. That helps you last in the postseason. And I know that people heard, like, Russell Wilson's comments, and they're like, oh, so Russell Wilson wants linemen. But, like, a great offensive line helps Rashad Penny. A great offensive line helps Chris Carson. A great offensive line and a great defensive line helps everyone.
This is something Mike Salk said to me as I went on his show the other week. And, well, Russell Wilson can't have everything. Well, no kidding. No kidding. You have a quarterback that has a list of desires and demands and all these things. Yeah, you can't have, you know, Ray Roberts has said this, you can't fill an offensive line with five all pros.
Right.
Unless you just dominate in the draft and you're able to get three of them and acquire two, right? Like, you're very rarely are you going to be able to do that. But let's not overlook the fact that they have had plenty of misses and opportunities to acquire all pro talent, and they've passed them by. They've simply just passed them by. And last year was the clearest illustration of that, where you have
Rodney Hudson, Corey Linsley.
Yeah, you have Rodney Hudson, you have Corey Linsley, you have Creed Humphreys that are available on the market to you, and you pass them all by. You pass them all by, every single one of them. And that was a clear decision from a front office perspective and from a head coaching perspective. How on earth are you going to be a dominant run attack and a dominant offense if you're not willing to make those investments from an offensive line perspective? And that, to me, are the clear misses and decisions that have led you to this point and have happened over time. And it comes down to your pass rush as well. You can look at those types of decisions that have been made, and now you have been clearly dealing with the same problem over and over and over again. You've addressed the problems or have tried to address it, but you've never fully fixed it. And Stacey, to your point, if you're going to find a surefire way of turning things around and getting yourself the best chance to making yourself a 2022 playoff contender and Super Bowl contender, well, you just put a really strong correlation and argument to great offensive line play means that you've got a pretty good chance of making it in the playoffs.
Right. The only teams with great offensive lines that weren't in the playoffs were teams with very clear deficiencies elsewhere or issues elsewhere. Washington football team, great offensive line ranking this year. Yeah, didn't really have consistency at quarterback. The defense completely fell off from their performance last year. Cleveland Brown, inconsistencies at quarterback. Had a great defense, great run game, great offensive line. Wasn't enough. You know, the Chargers were just in there. It was win and in for them with the Raiders. And so, again, it's like when you've got – you need a lot of pieces working together. But, yeah, that offensive line, man, like, I just feel like it's one of the most overlooked things in football. Same with defensive lines, and especially the big guys in the middle. Like, it's constantly overlooked, and they're the most important pieces sometimes with how you get back there. As far as getting back there in 2022, there's obviously a couple different routes. There's a road. There's an avenue where they trade Russell Wilson, where Russell Wilson asks for a trade and moves on, and they take that kind of, like, New England got in their new quarterback, made all these moves in free agency. Remember at the beginning of free agency last year when it was like, I'm sorry, the Patriots did what again? Like, the Patriots are signing every single free agent right now. There's a road where all of that happens. I think that Seattle's quickest path to a Super Bowl is not to do that. That's a path that New England took. I think the quickest path is to keep as many of your stars as you have. And then, you know, try to get some cap maneuverability or, I don't know, just you know, go offensive line and corner in the draft or what have you. But I tend to think that that's your quickest way. But I don't know, Jake, what do you think?
Well, the problem with that is that if you bring back everybody, then you, what you're going to have to do to, in order to create cap flexibility, Stacey, is you're going to have to make some extensions. You're going to have to give Bobby Wagner an extension, because having him as a $20 million cap hit is just financially irresponsible. you can't do that. Russell Wilson, with his cap number, you could create a significant number of flexibility in terms of your cap dollars if you either restructure his contract or you extend him. And that takes a great deal of commitment on both sides to make that happen, right? And so I believe that that is the problem that you're getting yourself in. There's going to have to be a sacrifice of not being able to retain all of these individuals. I mean, we just had John Clayton on at 10:30. And if you missed our interview with the professor, go to 710sports.com where you can download our podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. But he said, look, DJ Reed, he's on some lists. He's on as a top 25 prospect in terms of the free agent market. We all saw the number that Shaquille Griffin was able to get on the open market. Is DJ Reed going to be somebody that's a little too rich for them to be able to retain? I mean, I don't want to live in that world. I want to bring back DJ Reed, but that's certainly a possibility. So I don't know if you're going to be able to financially be able to bring everyone back and still leave yourself enough room to be able to make some serious additions, Stacey, to improve this roster and propel yourself forward, because the status quo of this last year's roster is just, as we know, it's not good enough.
Text from the Mac and Jack's text line. The Seahawks are struggling on offensive line because Pete and John cut the donuts so everyone gets a little, but no one's actually satisfied.
That's a great analogy.
I think Craig nailed it in the 4-2-5.
Congratulations, right. Craig. The best analogy of the day. Craig.
Also, Maui Rob texting in from the 512 saying, guess we know now why Brian spent so much time in space, donut cutter. I think that explains it all.
Oh, God. This hour, Dick Space and Stacey, is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Football Friday is brought to you by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru, Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire.
All right.
He's really a guru. He really played the game.
Jake, first down. Why are you anxiously awaiting to hear what comes out of the meeting with Jody Allen, Pete Carroll, and John Schneider?
Why am I anxiously awaiting?
Yes.
Because I'm awaiting clarity. And I believe that, look, with everything that has gone on with this offseason, and even if there are no changes being made, I think that there needs to be a reaffirmed conversation of, hey, this is the direction that we're going in. We feel great about this. We feel great about our leadership. We feel great about how everything is going, and we are committed to this in the long term. And even though that might seem obvious to a lot of people, I believe that a reaffirmed stance would mean a great deal from an outward perspective. The other side of it is that if there is changes, I mean, they can happen at different points in time. Clarity can be brought, a couple days after with Brian Schottenheimer, or it could be a few weeks or a week from the end of the season. There's no clear-cut timeline as to when things should happen. But it is unusual. It is unusual to have a meeting that is very known by everyone out there. Clearly, here's the logic in it. People are saying, well, no one knows what's going on, or no one needs to feed anybody information. Well, then who was feeding the information to Bob Condotta and other national reporters about when this meeting was going to occur at all? Right? Somebody had to tell them. And so it is unusual that not only have we learned that this meeting was happening yesterday, but that there was no other information that was given or any clarity that has been given as to what the results of those meetings are. And that is unusual from an NFL perspective. It's not necessarily unusual from a Seahawk perspective. So what do those changes mean, or what came out of that meeting? We do not know, and I am anxiously awaiting to find out what that is. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm sitting here anxiously awaiting changes, but I will be surprised if the true status quo remains the same. I'm not saying people lose jobs, from higher ups or anything like that. But I would be surprised if there wasn't any structural changes that were made to at least tweak to some degree.
Second down. Jake, you want to try to hurt me along with Curtis for my very kind donut takes? Well, here's one for you. Corey Linsley and Creed Humphrey were first and second in All-Pro voting at center. How does that make you feel? How's it feel, Jake, to hurt?
Not quite, My question is, why do you go out of your way to try to hurt me? I don't understand. Like, this, all I feel is pain. And the reason why is because, was this not something that I wanted desperately going into this last offseason? I mean, bringing on somebody with the talent of Corey Linsley and or Creed Humphrey and having someone that can really stabilize the middle of your offensive line and the leadership that it provides and the ability to both pass protect and run block is so undervalued in this league. They're the ones that set the whole tone. And I believe that a guy like Corey Linsley and Creed Humphrey could make a world of difference for this offensive line. And now they've put themselves in a position where they missed out on obtaining two all-pro caliber talents, and we'll see what they're able to potentially try to go after this offseason. There's some interesting candidates. Ryan Jensen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, you have Jason Kelce from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's 34 years old, but still a very, very good football player, very productive, very smart. So those would be my two leading guys as of right now. I need to watch more film to confirm it would be a scheme fit, but I think Jason Kelce would be a easy scheme fit. Ryan Jensen, I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but those are two guys that I would be eyeing in terms of additions that they could make, and they probably wouldn't be at the same price point as Corey Linsley was this last offseason, but I would have gladly paid Corey Linsley knowing I was getting an all-pro center that was going to anchor my offensive line, Stacey, for the next 4 years.
Third down. All right, on Saturday, you've got Raiders, Bengals, Patriots, Bills. On Sunday, you've got Eagles, Bucks, 49ers, Cowboys, and Steelers, Chiefs. And on Monday night, you've got Cardinals, Rams. Which of these wild card matchups are you most looking forward to?
The one that I'm looking for the most forward to is going to be, honestly, Monday night, Arizona against the Arizona Cardinals against the Los Angeles Rams. I'm curious to see who wins that one. I think that they're very close in terms of the rosters. I know both of them have had unique finishes to the season where there has definitely been highs and lows. They're not necessarily both teams that are firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs. So that is a game that I really true as a toss-up. And I'm going to be curious to see how that one unfolds. And there's a lot of storylines that will come out of that for either team if they are on the losing end of it. And then the other game that I'm going to be really, really interested to watch is going to be the San Francisco 49ers game at Dallas. I really believe that the 49ers have the ability to pull this thing off. And if Jimmy G can take care of the football, I think San Francisco's got a chance. I mean, Dallas has not been... Dallas has been wildly inconsistent this year. They've got all the talent in the world, but they've been inconsistent. I think San Francisco could present some serious problems for them.
Fourth down. All right, let's talk about the lower seeds, the visiting teams, Raiders, Pats, Eagles, 49ers, Steelers, and Cardinals. Which lower seeds have the best chance to pull off the upset this wild card weekend? You mentioned one of them, but is there another?
Yeah, there is another. To me, the Las Vegas Raiders are a team that do also have a tremendous chance to pull off the upset. The reason why is just Cincinnati. They are the better team. There's no question about it. But they're young. They haven't been in this position before. And I'm not saying the Raiders are filled with experience, but they do have Derek Carr, who is a very experienced quarterback in this league. They're playing together right now. They have really, really rallied around their interim head coach. And so don't count out the Las Vegas Raiders in this game. I think that they would be the next team that I would point to that have a great chance of maybe potentially pulling off the upset.
All right. As four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Don't forget you can watch the show live on 710sports.com/video. Coming up next in the timeline, I don't understand. I cannot wrap my mind around the logic of this sick, twisted Alabama fan. But I got to say, you guys, I respect it. I'll tell you what he had to say next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is The Timeline on Jake and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own timelines. Getting you caught up here. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. The Paul Feinbaum show caller, Fred from Alabama, local fave, is having a hard time, a really hard time, accepting the outcome of the national championship game.
When you have two went down the yard receivers off your ball team. They didn't beat a good ball team. And if anybody from Georgia thinks that they're the number one team, that's horse.
Fred, do you live in by yourself, or do you have family members that look after you?
No, I've got family.
Okay. Because, Fred, I don't like to say what I'm about to say, but you need help. If you think that.
No, you need help.
Oh, I do?
You need help if you can't realize that second, third ball teams are supposed to be able to play as good as first string players are.
Okay, so if Georgia is not the best team in the country, would you like to enlighten us on who is?
Alabama was good. We beat them with a healthy ball team. How could Georgia take any kind of pride about beating a team with 2,000-yard receivers going? The only fair game that Alabama played with Georgia was the SEC championship. And what did Alabama do to them then? We slaughtered them.
So Fred from Alabama saying, look, I'm looking at the SEC championship when Alabama had their 2 1,000-yard receivers, one of which they lost before this game and one of which they lost during the game. And heretofore, Alabama's the national champion. That's just it. That's just the thing. Georgia shouldn't feel
incredible
proud.
Incredible logic.
Georgia shouldn't feel proud about what they did. They beat a team. Never mind that Georgia had Stetson Bennett IV at quarterback, and their defense played phenomenal football. But, no, Georgia shouldn't feel proud about what they did because they beat a banged-up Alabama team. And I say we go back to Alabama's last win that against Georgia. That is the one that we should look at.
Yep, that totally makes sense to me. I mean, let's run that thing back. I mean, this is – oh, man.
I like it.
Alabama fans are struggling to, you know, compute what is happening and that they're not the national champions, that they're not the best team in the country. They're going to desperate measures to try and convince themselves that they still are the national champions. You might as well tell that to Nick Saban and have Alabama still hang up the banner. I mean, that would be my next suggestion.
You need help.
No, you need help.
No, you need help. I saw so many Alabama fans on Twitter and Alabama alumni being like, I mean, you know, Alabama's missing their top two receivers, so I don't know how you could feel that great about it. Like, welcome to football. Welcome to, like, any sport where it's like, not only do you have to be the best, you also have to be the healthiest. You also have to get lucky. That's how you win. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
We don't go back and just decide that every single national champion, every single Super Bowl winner, every single Stanley Cup winner, every single World Series winner, we don't look back and say, like, you know, let's try to qualify whether or not they actually deserved this. They won! Get over it, Bama. Get over it, Fred, even though I really, really like this call. No, you get over it. You get over it.
I love it.
You need help.
No, you need help.
You need help.
That's how Curtis and I's conversation with Stacey goes.
Boy,
every single
is that
day.
Not
no, you
true?
Guys, that's
oh,
not true.
Man.
Can I just? I'm going to do an update on the poll. I'm very, very disappointed. If you think that I am wrong about this, I cannot stress enough how disappointed I am with you. I'm blocking all of you from the text line. I'm not even holding back. If someone brings a box of donuts into the office, it is not bad etiquette to cut a piece of a donut. That's completely
no, Stacey.
Fair.
You're
completely
saying
fair.
A piece. Yeah. Stop lying.
What
you're
am
talking
I lying
about?
About
a piece. No,
a
if
piece
you
of
cut
a, donut.
A piece,
you're Edward
that's fine.
Scissorhands me, back here with these donuts.
You're
who
cutting all
want
of the
more
donuts?
Donuts. Who doesn't want you're, more tastes of different donuts?
You know, how you get more Stacey. Taste of a donut by eating a full one.
Who's going to have
that's
five?
Right.
Would you rather? Okay, you're going to make yourself sick like Jake did yesterday if
no.
you have five donuts.
No, you
or
eat
you
one.
Have,
you
or,
eat two, maybe.
No,
one.
I want to taste five different donuts. There's a bunch of different flavors there. Also, why do I want to live?
Also,
you only live once.
You are making the donuts go stale quicker by hacking them up and leaving them sitting out. You are ruining the donuts
no
for everybody else.
No one's leaving them there for hours.
And, yes,
and guess what, Stacey?
Have you never
you
seen
thinking...
donuts in an office setting? They're left out for 24 hours.
You are also thinking of only yourself because here
no,
you are thinking that
no,
you need to
no.
try every donut.
Exactly.
Where there might be someone that looks at it and says, wow, my favorite donut is the apple fritter. Apple fritter is there, and I want the entire thing. Instead, I'm only going to get a half of an apple
first
fritter.
First of all, Jake,
so,
no one's favorite donut is the apple fritter. Don't be ridiculous.
It,
everyone's favorite donut
be.
Is like a maple bar or maybe an old-fashioned glazed donut. And isn't it much more nice if those are cut in half or into quarters so that everyone can get some of it?
No, because I don't want anybody else touching my donut.
Okay, well, let me get to the
with
next
their
story
grimy
here.
Fingers.
Next story on the timeline concerns Mike McCarthy. Now, we all know that one of these wild card games will be on Nickelodeon. Who's going to be the MVP? All very curious. Cowboys head coach, though, Mike McCarthy sounded very open to getting slimed by Nickelodeon if Dallas beats San Francisco this weekend.
Sean Payton got slimed after the win last year. Would you be willing to get slimed if y'all win?
Well, I'd be willing to get signed.
Slimed.
Oh, slimed. Okay, obviously I haven't been on Nickelodeon lately. So I don't even know what slimed is. Rich, you going to help me out here? Or what? All right. Well, hey, anything for the children. I'll just say that.
Anything for the children. Mike McCarthy, I don't believe he didn't know what getting slimed was. Although, sometimes head coaches are so in their own world because all they do is watch tape and recruit at the college level, obviously, not the pros. But they are so, like, in their bubble that maybe he really didn't know, but I don't believe it. I think he knows what getting slimed is. He has to.
Well, I think that he probably knows what's coming, right? I would much rather take slime than take disgusting Duke's mayo poured on me after a game.
Oh, that's actually a really good
question. The poor head coach from the South Carolina. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. You seriously going to ask people, would they rather have mayo dumped on them or slime?
No. Would you rather have the following condiments dumped on you, okay? Would you rather have ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, or relish dumped on you? Mayonnaise.
So, give me mayonnaise, relish, or what?
Just the classic condiments. Would you rather have, and Curtis, would you rather have mayonnaise, relish, mustard, or ketchup, a bucket of it dumped on you? Even though mayonnaise is disgusting, it's the least likely to, like, stain your clothing and be gross, and it's the one you're choosing.
I mean, it's like picking the way you want to die.
Well, that's
like,
exactly what it is.
I want none of them.
You have to choose one of them. You have to choose one. I don't make the rules. I don't make the rules.
Maybe relish. I don't know.
I mean, it's a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing. So maybe mustard. I don't know.
Mustard's going to stain all of your clothes, Jake.
So I throw them away. I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen one time.
Mitchie and Bothell says I'd get barbecue sauce dumped on me. That might be.
Oh, well, that would. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. I'm with you on that one, Mitchie. No doubt.
All right.
That's a clear, easy, clear-cut favorite.
I can get. But then also, Mitchie and Bothell also says, Stacy, stop. Apple fritter is the OG. Mitchie, no one likes apple fritters.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. Look,
you can't say that. Apple fritters are top five donuts.
Okay? Overrated donut. It is.
Stacy,
apple fritters.
If you're new to the show,
gross pie,
I must inform you all that Stacy has the worst food takes of anyone you're ever going to listen to on the radio.
That's not true.
Warning you now.
Name one that's bad. You can't.
Apple fritters are bad. There we go.
I didn't say they're bad. I said they're the worst
Stacy
donut.
Just make it.
That's literally saying donut. That's. Oh
I would still eat. I'd eat 20 of them. I wouldn't be happy about it. I wouldn't like myself for it, but I'd do it for the children.
Can we get
like
on
Mike
to the next story? I can't handle
this. Well, my next
this.
Story
this is
isn't as fun. It's the IRG Injury Report brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. Quandre Diggs. I mean, there's good news and bad news here. Quandre Diggs had successful surgery on his leg, had a broken fibula, a dislocated ankle. His recovery is expected to be 4 to 5 months. Jake, we spoke with a professor earlier who said he could be a candidate for the franchise tag. Brady Henderson of ESPN joined us earlier in the week and said if there ever was a candidate, it would be Quandre Diggs. How do you see this team moving forward with Diggs?
This is a hard one because when it comes down to Quandre Diggs, I mean, I think that John, you know, was right in saying that it's probably cheaper to give him an extension, a longer term deal than it is to just franchise tag him. So when it comes down to that part of it, I am more of an advocate of giving him a 3-year deal than signing him up for a franchise tag, because I just don't see how it benefits you. Do you have an answer past Quandre Diggs? No, you don't. Is somebody else going to bring the leadership that Quandre Diggs is going to bring to your organization? No, I don't think anybody will. And why would you pay more money for just 1 year that's immovable, that's straight up on your cap, that's a straight cap hit, rather than being able to finagle the cap to your benefit? You know, I just don't see what the advantage could be for the Seahawks. Therefore, I don't see them doing the franchise tag. I see them giving him at least a 3-year extension.
All right. I want to get to Wild Card Weekend just a little bit. At the top of the hour, in about a little under 20 minutes, we're going to talk with Michael Bumpus, and we're going to get to the Seahawks, focus on the Seahawks, look a little bit at the Wild Card Weekend. So before we bring Bump on, I want to spend a little more time looking at this weekend's games. Jake in Four Down Territory, you talked about some potential upsets. Let's explore why those could happen next on Jake and Stacey.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
A wild, wild card weekend in the NFL with seven of the league's 12 teams in the postseason, returning to the postseason after not making it last year. Now, that's good news for the Seahawks. We've talked about the road that the Seahawks can take there, which of these teams might most be like the philosophy Seattle could use to make it work, all kinds of good conversations. We're going to get back to that with Michael Bumpus, who's going to join us in 15 minutes. But first, I want to look at these teams a little more closely, and let's go ahead and preview wildcard weekend and choose some of our upsets here. So let me read you what we're looking at. Obviously, the Tennessee Titans, the number one seed in the AFC, and the Green Bay Packers, the number one seed in the NFC, are not playing this weekend. They get the week off. So here are your games. Starting on Saturday, the first game of the slate, Raiders at Bengals. Then later on Saturday, you've got Patriots at Bills. If we have to pick one of these to upset, Jake, against my better judgment, and I don't know why I'm doing this, it's the dumbest prediction I've made, I might go Raiders over Bengals. It's so stupid. Bengals are a team that in Hype Train 2 weeks ago, I said could go to the AFC Championship. Why do I think this?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I think it's because when you take away Ja'Marr Chase, when you take away that connection with Joe Burrow, they do still have some uneven play, some shaky ground. That connection is good enough to get them to an AFC Championship. It is so unbelievably good. Ja'Marr Chase, one of the finalists for rookies of the year. We'll get to that in NFL headlines. But I question... I question the team without that. Not only that, but I believe Joe Burrow has been one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the league this year, so the offensive line's still been shaky.
Yeah, and it's very true, and I totally agree with you on that front, but you're also missing another part of it that makes this team very good, and that is the fact that they have a really good running game, a solid running game with Joe Mixon that helps balance that out. Obviously, the dynamic aspect of this offense and the big play aspect of this offense is that Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase connection, and you'll see just maybe how drastic the Raiders go about trying to limit Ja'Marr Chase. If I'm any team in the playoff, that's what I'm doing. I am going above and beyond to try and limit Ja'Marr Chase and his big play ability and force Joe Burrow to beat me with, you know, they've got other weapons in Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, but I'm forcing Joe Burrow to beat me with those guys rather than Ja'Marr Chase. There's something about the Cincinnati Bengals to me that the young aspect of this team, mm-hmm. Not just young in terms of the players on the field, but also as a head coach in Zach Taylor as well. It just makes it feel like it's an opportunity that's ripe for a team that is very talented to be upset because they make mistakes in the playoffs and that they bounce back from it. But I just view Cincinnati as a team that's you just don't know exactly what you're going to get when it comes to playoff time.
From the 206 on the Mac and Jack's text line, losing all faith in Stacy. All this talk about apple fritters has me driving to the original bakery in West Seattle for a fix. Lord have mercy. Oakland/Vegas. I think Stacy's reached her hot take limit for the day. Yeah, that's fair. I understand. Let's go to our next slate of games here on Sunday when we've got three games. Eagles at Buccaneers, 49ers at Cowboys, and Steelers at Chiefs. Jake, I think, now you've made your case for the 49ers. I want to start there with you, but I think that on Sunday you could see no upsets.
Oh, I doubt you'll see any upsets. I mean, the Chiefs, they're playing really good football right now. They're firing on all cylinders, and I think that they are going to be, you know, look, Pittsburgh defensively might give them a difficult time, but overall, Kansas City's going to win this game. I just have a very hard time seeing Pittsburgh being able to pull off that upset, especially when Ben Roethlisberger, look, in his final send-off, you know, threw it for over nearly 40 times and threw it for barely over 100 yards, right? I mean, this is not the same player anymore, and they barely beat a really banged-up Baltimore Ravens team to finish out the season. So I think that Pittsburgh, it's amazing that they were able to find themselves into the playoffs. It's a tremendous victory for them, given all the struggles that they had going on through the majority of the season, but the road ends there. I do view the 49ers as an interesting pick over the Dallas Cowboys, Stacey. I just got a feeling
the best
that they're
going to...
They are the best wild card team. And Deebo Samuel, he's a playmaker and is really difficult to stop. And Dallas is going to have a handful in trying to, you know, limit that aspect of the 49ers offense. And we'll see if Dallas can put it all together. They are insanely talented. No one's doubting their talent. They're doubting their ability to actually win big when the moment asks for it.
Yeah, Dallas to me, Deebo Samuel, by the way, he's got so many. He's got 1,400 yards. That's just receiving. Total yards from scrimmage, he's got 1,770 total yards from scrimmage and 14 combined touchdowns. He is just an unreal talent. Yeah, San Francisco is of the three, also the upset I could see. Dallas to me, I would say even more so than the Bengals, even though it's been a very odd year in the NFL. And maybe that's people taking kind of, you know, absences from the game for COVID protocol and then coming back. Whatever it is this year, there's been so much variance. The Cowboys, to me, are maybe the team with the most variance in the postseason, where I could see them winning a Super Bowl and I could see them getting knocked out this weekend. Truly, like, I could see they have a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense for the first time in I don't know how many years. And yet I could see them getting bounced.
Yeah, I mean, they lost the Arizona Cardinals, right? I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, took it to them for the majority of that game. So Dallas, to me, is just – they're a very volatile group that you just don't know. I mean, if they're on a hot streak and they are playing well together, they have the ability to go to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's how talented they are. But for whatever reason, they have not been able to have that synergy on a consistent basis. And that's why I think when they face – good quality opponents in the playoffs, I think that that's where they're going to struggle and that they will fall short.
Yeah, and Dallas also, to me, as well as the next team that I'm about to mention for Monday night, of all of these teams, it's where the onus falls more on the coach than almost anyone else. The coach is all really important, but, like, you look at the Bengals, and it's like, what's the key to a win? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase take off. Like, you can't stop Ja'Marr Chase. That's the key to a win. Likewise for the Raiders, it's that Derek Carr in his first postseason game, like, takes off and has a phenomenal day, and the defense can take advantage of getting pressure on Joe Burrow. I mean, you can see, you know, kind of keys to the game for all of these teams. But then the Cowboys and the Cardinals, the team I'm about to talk about, it's both like, can the coach not get in the way? Can Mike McCarthy and Cliff Kingsbury make the right calls and make the right decisions in this one? Because the next and final game we're going to preview is the now wild card Arizona Cardinals at LA Rams. That one's Monday night. And I could see this going either way. We talked with John Clayton, who could see it going either way. What do you think?
Yeah, I could as well. I mean, it's just there's a level of this game that just I'm right there with you. I believe that there's no clear defined you know, moment for this team that I could look over the course of the season and say this is exactly why I think that they're destined to make a serious run at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But they are going to have some big injury updates. We will get to those in NFL headlines coming up at 12:30. I've got the injury report for right now for all of these teams. And most of these teams looking at some big question marks heading into the game. So, again, we'll get to that. He is the host of the Seahawks pre- and post-game show, NFL analyst, former Seahawks wide receiver, former Coug. Once a Coug, always a Coug. He'll be joining us, Michael Bumpus, in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at how the Seahawks can get back on track in 2022.